evidence of things not seen. It means that faith is tangible. You cannot have faith and not to look at what I see. I say what God has said about me. I am a child of God, the temple of the Holy Ghost. Sin has been defeated.
Praise the Lord. So what is the title of today's service? Take your cross. Tell your neighbor, take your cross. Now, this is our concluding teaching on our August series on Christian consecration, the school of consecration. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And we've been talking about radical devotion, satisfied in Christ, joy in Christ, Jesus' joy, the secret place. Are you with me? These teachings are very important too. Can I be honest with you? Ask people who have been Christians for long, I'm talking about 30 years and above, they will tell you the kind of teachings they had and some of the kind of teachings that are popular now are very different. And you see, just the way the doctors tell you that you are what you eat, it is showing. In those days, you can't stand up and ask, is kissing a sin? You can't try it. You can't try it. Please, are you with me? The brand of Christianity, and I'm concerned, some of the arguments we argue now, can you keep on sinning and still be saved? What will you do to lose your salvation? Are you still a sin? All those kind of questions, they did not exist. I'm serious. Let me tell you the real problem. The real problem started when we began to have a church that we wanted to accommodate the world and the church in the same place. But according to the prophecy of Daniel, the sand and the iron will not mix. It will not mix. It can never mix. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
And let me tell you something. Look at the world. The way the world treats the church, it should tell us that you are not a friend of the world. You are not a friend of the world. Every day, the bullying of Christians is becoming more intense. It's becoming more intense. And Christians are docile. You are still playing being politically correct. In the U.S., you can order a bottle of Coke and put an inscription on the bottle of Coke. Some of you know that, right? If you want to put an inscription, if you send an order to write Jesus, it will tell you error. If you write Satan, it will approve it. I'm telling you. So right now is the time to raise solid Christians. Solid. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Tell your neighbor, take your cross.
So
what is a cross? The cross was an ancient way of dealing with prisoners and notorious criminals. It's from the word crucifixion, you know. Crucifixion was a method of executing prisoners and notorious criminals in ancient times. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to us clearly.
Amen.
Let your word come with power.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus was crucified on that cross as a criminal. And he embraced the shameful death to rescue mankind from eternal damnation. Can you say after me, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you,
Jesus. The Bible also shows us that when we believe in Jesus Christ, in some way and some form, are you with me? The path that Jesus took, we also must take. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. The Bible says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He's not saying every Christian will have to die for the gospel, but in some shape or some form, every Christian will have to go through some uncomfortable situation for the sake of Christ. Are you with me? There is some form of suffering you have to go through. It does not mean that Christianity endorses suffering or that if you are suffering, you are a Christian. Are you with me? I'm not trying to say that Christianity is synonymous with suffering, but we are saying that sometimes in your Christian journey, you have to get ready to undergo difficult places for the sake of Christ. Are you with me? Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 29. Philippians 1, 29. The Bible says, you know what? I'll allow you to read it. 1, 2, 3, go. Read it one more time. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Can I be honest with you? I have never seen this scripture all the years I was in church. Not once it was read. Wait, I was reading my Bible personally and I saw it as, yeah? So something like this is in the Bible. Yes. Praise the Lord. What does the cross represent? So if you are writing, you can write this. It represents an uncomfortable situation or responsibility a child of God has to take up because he believes in Jesus Christ. The cross represents an uncomfortable situation or responsibility a child of God has to take up because he believes in Jesus Christ. Let me just add here. The cross is not when you are being dealt with for being irresponsible. If you read 1 Peter chapter 4, you see Apostle Peter talk about this. That when you are serving your masters and you do wrong and they deal with you for that, don't call it suffering for Christ. It's actually in 1 Peter chapter 4. You come late to work. You now open your Bible in the office. They now come and hit you and say, hey, stand up. You now say, they are persecuting me for the gospel. No, sir. That's not persecution, no. Please, are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So what does the cross represent? An uncomfortable situation or responsibility a child of God has to take up because he believes in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 16, verse 24, he then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Look at this. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You know why I like the rendering of Jesus Christ here? Nobody can escape. If any man. If you don't have a cross you are carrying, you are not following him. That's what he's saying. The reason why these texts are important is because we are living in a day. There is a brand of Christianity rising that erases all form of discomfort. Are you with me? All form of discomfort for the gospel. Everything must be easy. Do you know that there are people who in the last 5 years have not gone to church? Since after COVID, they have been online members. I have met people like that. It is because of things like this. They don't want any stress. They say, you must not preach for people to be saved. My life is the gospel. As the people have seen me like this, my life is a message. My life is a message. Or the Bible did not say, go into the world and live a life that will be a message and all men will come to me. No. Go into the world and preach the gospel. Your life as a message can bring them to hear, but your life alone is not what will get a man to be convinced that Jesus is the way. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Your life can make him say, okay, who are you? What do you really believe in? I want to learn from you. Then you must open your mouth. Are you with me? If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life. See verse 25. For whosoever shall save his life will lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. So he has already given you a heads up that, see, eventually, when you calculate the cost, you will see that it pays more to give up your life for my sake. Now, I'm not saying you will have to die, but if it has to come to that, he says it's worth it. Jesus is saying it is worth it. If it has to come to that, it is worth it. Now, to get the context of this text, look at Matthew 16, verse 21. The Bible says, and from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. So was Peter doing a bad thing? On the surface, no. You hear your master saying, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I will be killed. The chief priests and the scribes will do evil to me, and I will die, and I will rise up on the third day. Peter hearing that say, master, you say what? You will what? No. I rebuke it. It shall not come to pass. It shall not stand. Neither shall it come to pass. You will not die. And see what Jesus said to him. But he turned and said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Hi. Get thee behind me. This was so harsh. What kind of response is this? Get thee behind me, Satan. This tells you that not all good is God. Not all good is God, but if it is God, it will be good. There are some good that is satanic. And that's what he's saying there. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou serverest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Do you know what it means to savor? Means you like or you are interested. He says, Satan is not interested in doing the things that please God. You are not interested. You savor not the things that be of God. That means it is satanic not to have a heart that is desperate to please God. This is Bible. He's saying that when you see a person that you don't have a strong desire to please God, you are manifesting satanic tendencies, Luciferous attributions. Are you with me? That's what he's saying there. He says that Satan does not like to please God. You know what got me here? When meditating on this text yesterday, I'm like, Jesus is going to die. Then he knows that he will be ill-treated. Why is he so vehement about going to do it? That's a lesson here, that as a Christian, you should have a spiritual vehemence to do the will of God. That he's willing to fight somebody that will stop him from pleasing God. He's willing to fight anyone who will stand in his way to please God. Can you say after me, in the name of Jesus, I will live my life to please the Lord. Some of you are wondering, why is Pastor talking about this thing like this? Let me tell you something. Do you know how I got born again? I've told you my story before, right? I got born again by reading the Bible. It was reading the Bible that got me convicted. And I went for altar call after I'd read the Bible at home. You know what I discovered? I discovered by reading the Bible, it is very possible, you can be in church for a long time and not be in touch with God. And I began to ask myself one simple question. If the Bible, this Bible, says what it says, and I believe this Bible is true, my response must be different. If you read this Bible, if you read it and come up with conclusions, your response to God, to Christ, will be radically different. Radically different. Are you with me? So this is the context. Then you see in verse 24, Jesus now says, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross. So Jesus is vehement, vehement to do the will of God. Hey, Jesus. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, there is a new passion in me to do the will of God. And now let me say something. I have said it before, but I will say it again. He said, he that loves his life shall lose it. He that loses his life for my sake shall gain it. When you restrain yourself from the demands of consecration, at the end of your life, at the end of your journey, you will discover that you lost more. I've told you my personal story. I remember when God was telling me, resign from the oil field. Then I used to be a well test engineer. It's not everybody that should resign. Please, are you with me? Not everybody, but for me, my own cross was resign. And because I struggled, me that my last result in the university was 4.95. I wish I had it all through so that I would have been the best graduating. But me, that and mechanical, I like mechanical engineering. See, minus the school, God knows that me, I like it. Who followed midweek service? When I was explaining about the spark plug from the ignition coil to halfway, somebody just said, Pastor, you do. And they said, because I like it. People that went to school with me, they know that I love engineering drawing, engineering design. Pipeline design and management systems, PDMS, all those kind of things. I love those things. Then Lord said, resign. Come and be a pastor. Carry the brain and use for the word of God. Are you with me? I struggled initially, but when I eventually obeyed, this is 7 years down the line, I'm like, I should have answered this thing early. I should have answered it earlier. So quickly, how do we take up our cross? Number one, denial of earthly pleasure that stands against the will of God. Denial of earthly pleasure that stands away against the will of God. Many times, when the will of God is revealed, it is usually something that stands against the human nature and what human nature would have wanted. But when you are taking up your cross, you will deny earthly pleasure that stands against the will of God. So like Jesus, he wants to fulfill the will of God and go and die for our sins. Peter is trying to stop him. He says, no. I will reject it vehemently. Please, are you with me?
Yes,
are you with me?
Yes,
you know, can I be honest with you? These things are not hard, though. It's just that we have a low perspective of God. Unfortunately so. Many people think that when God is telling you to give your all for him or sacrifice for him, some people believe, I've been saying this thing and I'll repeat it again. Some people believe that God can use you and abandon you. It's not true. Do you remember that man in the Bible where Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you know, the man came and asked Jesus, Master, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, oh, go and sell all that you have. Then take up your cross and follow me. And the Bible says, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, that may look like a very high tax. Actually, that's not the key to eternal life. Jesus was just trying to prove his heart. Are you with me? So, it looks like a very high thing. But imagine you've been working for, let's say, 10 years, 15 years, you've gathered, let's assume you made a lot of money and you gathered 100 million.
Glory.
And then by some stroke of, will I say coincidence, you met with Jeff Bezos. Is Elon Musk that is the richest now, Abby? He's the first trillionaire. That man, I don't even know where he's going to. Just kukuma buy the whole world. So you meet Elon Musk, and you tell Elon Musk, sir, I want to be like you. I want to go in your steps. Sir, now you are the richest man in the world. I want to be the next richest man. I want to be mentored by you. Elon Musk says, before you start, you go and sell all you have. You see that your property in Nigeria, sell it. Sell everything. You'll come to the US, you'll follow me. I'll give you a new property. You open a US bank account. We'll start afresh. And don't worry. In 3 months' time, everything you've had in Nigeria and you've done for the last 15 years, you will get it in 3 months and that will be the beginning. What will you do? What will you do? I remember the last time I gave this example. Will you say, a wise person will say, okay, excuse me, let me go and talk to my family. Let me plan with them. Let's know what to do. Somebody told me, Pastor, that is a long time. You say, sir, as we are now, let's be going. Let's be going. They will find out later. And they will thank God for my life. Sir, let's be going, because if I come back, they will be angry with me I came back. You see, we don't have a problem. Lomox is far. There are some of you, as we are here now, in this service, worshiping God, talking to the Lord Jesus. If our president sends you a message, say, come to the Aso Rock now. You say, sir, I need to leave the service. Sir, see. You will leave here. You will leave here. It's because of your estimation of who he is, right? In the same way, do you really know who God is? Do you really, when he's asking you to take up your cross and follow him, do you think he doesn't have a plan for you? Do you think he does not care about you? Do you think he does not love you? Please, are you with me? He tells us in John chapter 12, verse 24, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. Then it says in verse 25, he that loveth his life shall lose it. Again, are you seeing this? So there is a much fruit that comes when you choose to take up your cross and follow the Lord. There is a much fruit that comes. Now, I've been speaking plenty theology. Let me make it more practical. When everybody's, the way sex is being paraded on the internet, it looks pleasurable. But when the Lord is saying no, that no, marriage is honorable, the bed undefiled. No, no, no. Taking up your cross to say, I will not fall for this thing. I will not embrace it. No matter how great they make it look, I will not. The Lord that is telling you, he knows why. Are you with me? Are you with me? Sometimes in dealing with sin, the same thing. You will see that God wants you to do something. But when you look at the pleasure involved, you're like, ah, this thing. Should I go here? Should I? No, take up. You see that pain you are going to experience? That pain of rejecting that pleasure, it is called your cross. It is the cross. Are you with me? Are you with me? Picture Joseph. Imagine you were Joseph. Look at what Joseph said in Genesis 39, verse 9. When Potiphar's wife was trying to lure him, do you know that somebody can interpret that as the favor of God? Oh, God, wife just like me. Huh? Then I ask you, how were you promoted? You have become the chief baker in this house. God has favor. Oh, God, wife just like me. You will not tell them what happened. Are you with me? And guess what? Do you know that Joseph would have believed that that was a blessing of God? And he would have been there. Can I tell you something? If Joseph compromised, we would not have known of Joseph. We would not know. Joseph also would not have known what he missed. Are you getting it? He would have lived in Egypt, grown very fast, had a very big pot belly. I say, you know, we thank God for what God has done. You know, he has established us in Egypt. You know. But in taking a stand for the Lord and rejecting that pleasure to do the will of God, God orchestrated his steps, positioned him at the right place for destiny. Amen. Amen. Joseph said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was not just first about Potiphar's wife and Sir Potiphar. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Praise the Lord. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 24. The Bible says, by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he knew it is high time Israel leaves this place. So whatever pleasure I'm getting that is contrary to the will of God, I have to say no to it. Are you with me? Are you with me? There are some of you, it is high time to make some moves. I can't continue embracing a pleasure that is against God's will. It is high time to take something. This thing must stop. Are you with me? This friendship with this person, it must stop. Whatever I'm getting from this person, it must stop because I have to please God. Are you with me? Don't worry, I understand. I knew that the service today, so I have some chilling to it. Praise the Lord. And let me tell you something. There will be at least once in your lifetime where God will test you like this. There will be at least once in your lifetime where you will have to make a difficult choice for the Lord. You will have to prove to God. You have to prove at least once. You will have to prove that, see, I will not embrace pleasure at the expense of God. I will not embrace I'm telling you ahead of time so you know what to do. There will be at least once. There was one time when the church was starting. God. Temptation. Oh, dear, dear, dear Jesus. Have you seen temptation? Church was starting. Somebody came to church, said, I'm born again now. I want to repent. I was an armed robber. I used to go to people's houses to steal, and I had guns, and I have gathered $25,000. I want to give it to the church. That time, if we see 50K, the hand of God fell. Now, somebody's telling me $25,000. Dolls. Bro. A part of me was like, no, this is what God has been promising you since. And that part in my spirit was like, I could feel a gentle pull in my spirit. Be careful. Be careful. So I said, you know what we'll do? I will call a bigger ministry that has a team of lawyers. They will take over this case because we are not up to 30. We're just maybe 20 people. And somebody was giving me just $25,000. It looked like the move of God. Already in my mind, I've calculated billboard, instrument. We didn't have no equipment, nothing. Just one box speaker and mic. But I could feel God within me telling me, Let me tell you, it's now I know better. That guy would have put us in trouble. Big trouble. So when I told him that, he was like, So I said, so we are not going to take the money, All the guns, all the money, we'll give it to these lawyers. They will help you. They will see how they can do some, the people that you have stolen from, refund the one they can refund. So he said he needed a place to stay that night. He stayed in our house. I was not wise then now. Young pastor trying to save the whole world. We will still save the whole world, but now I will protect my family. Do you know what he did? That night, everybody's phone that was available, he stole. Jesus. All the valuables around, he took. He took Pastor Faith's phone, took. Before we woke up, and we have not seen him again till today. Do you know what my guess was? It's like he knew that they were going to trace him with that money and catch him. So he was looking for the available church to dump it with. And when they cannot catch them, they will catch us. There was another time, still when I was in... There was a lady that was coming to church. She was staying with a particular brother. I asked her one day, this brother you come with, is he your husband? She said, he's not my husband, but we live together. I said, why? She said, nah, so life, don't do harm. I said, it's not right. It's not right. Then one day she met me. Her and the guy, they have problems. And the guy is owing her so amount of money. I said, okay. So what do you want me to do? She said, Pastor, help me talk to him. I said, I've not even been seeing him in church too. How do you want me to help you talk to him? Then one day, the brother came to see me. that I should pray for him. He's going through a tough time and all of that. So I was praying for him. While I was praying for him, the lady called, was calling me. So I was like, this the friend of this guy that I've been, is also calling me at the same time. So I finished the prayer and the guy left. So I picked the call. She was like, Pastor, please, keep him with you. I know he came to see you, keep him with you. Don't worry, I will send some money to your account. Pastor, don't worry, just keep him with you. Find a way and keep him, find a way. Lie, see anything. When she started saying lie, just say anything. I said, wait, you have the mouth to tell me to lie for you. Are you crazy? Don't you know you're talking to a pastor? You should be afraid. She was like, Pastor, how much do you want? I will send it to your account. I said, I cannot lie for you. What is wrong with you? I closed the call. Do you know that in 5 minutes, the whole compound was filled with soldiers? He said, Where is the pastor? I said, I'm here. He said, where is the guy you were supposed to keep for her? Then 10 minutes later, she came, Pastor, you failed my hand. You failed my hand. The kind of money will I forgive you? I said, I wanted to arrest him. And the story will go around. It is pastor that was the machinery to temptation. There are some people who say, yeah, I will send money to your account. My account number is zero. I'm using First Bank. You have to learn to talk like this. What God cannot give me, I don't need. Where God cannot take me, I will not go. You know what? Everybody say after me. What God cannot give me, I reject. Where God cannot take me, I reject. Tomorrow now, you find yourself in some, now you now start your prison ministry. Find yourself in the prison, say, you know, life is not. There will be at least once that you will have to, I'm saying this thing now, because there will be at least once in your lifetime. What will you do? Look at Moses. He rejected Egypt. You are in the office, they tell you, sign this thing. Sign this thing. Your boss tells you, if you don't sign it, you lose. Sir, you are not, thank God for your boss, but your boss is not your God. Because if I don't get this job, you know this man, you've slept with the man. You've done this. You've lied for him. At a point, you'll be wondering, who are you serving, God or your boss? Hallelujah. Number two, be willing. So we said number one is what? Denial of earthly pleasure that stands against the will of God. Number two, be willing to embrace discomfort for the cause of Christ. Jesus says in Matthew 10 verse 38, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. What kind of statement is this? He says, he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Eh? So we need to ask you, what discomfort have you embraced because you believed in Jesus? When last did somebody insult you for preaching the gospel? Do you know it's a privilege to be insulted for preaching the gospel? When last have you had to put your flesh under for the sake of Christ? Even in your giving, it is good. We tell people, give your tithe. And it's important to structure your giving. Have the one for tithe, have your offerings, have your savings. As a person, as a family, have investments. But if you are really hearing God, there will be some times where God will say, give more than what you have originally planned to give. Not just to church, but to people. And then to church. Amen. When last did he push you out of your comfort zone? So maybe anything that, don't. If it's God you are following, let me tell you, there has never been a time where serving God will be easy. There has never been a time where the gospel has prevailed on men that love comfort. For instance, yesterday, we had Lagos Confluence. I was awake for 18 hours. But guess what? I will wake up again and prepare for today. Not just prepare, not just pray. We have what is called sermon review, where I sit with all the pastors, we go through the notes, look at it again. I will do it. Let me endure the process. Later, we sleep well. Not that I will allow God's own to fail because of my comfort. That's not how. That's not God's way. Some people, they are in a service unit. Once the thing is beyond, no, not to stress me. Don't pressure me. Don't pressure me. Any small thing, don't pressure me. You will not grow spiritually that way. Once the prayer is more than 5 minutes, it's too long. This is what destroyed the gospel in many Western nations. Oh, don't stress them. They must give them sandwich. If not, they will not come to church. Sandwich and tea. Sandwich and... When last did you embrace discomfort for the gospel? Look at Jesus in Matthew 5 verse 10. Jesus says, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Glory! Glory! Blessed are ye when men revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. He says in verse 12, rejoice! Hey, make that rejoicing louder. Let me hear you. Rejoice! And be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You are in the office, man of God. Pastor. I remember those days in the oil field when they start talking about girls. They want to describe women, talk about all kinds of unspeakable things. And I'll be quiet and just be walking. They'll say, man of God, no one talk. Emoji. Emoji. You will not talk now. But you're going to be greeting all those, your pastors in your church. Papa. Leave that in. And you know what they are doing? They are just trying to taunt me to say something. They will not say, talk true. The pastor will chop your tithes. All your tithes, your pastor will chop. They are just trying to push you. When I don't say one about tithes, they'll say, even you're speaking in tongues, safe. Does it even make sense? They are doing it like that, consistently, poking you. At some point, you have to say, this is a work environment. If it's your boss, don't say it to. Just say, oh God. Just say, sir, if it's your boss, say you are blessed. Sir, don't worry, I'm praying for you. Say, that's your prayer. Say, sir, don't worry, me, I'm going to pray for him, really pray for him. Oh, you think they don't know? That's how they were doing me until one day, my boss carried me to the office. He said, David, there's a contract that we need to get. I said, sir. He said, I know you pray. Even though you don't pray in the office, I just know that you are genuine. Of all of them there, you are a serious Christian. He put it on the floor. He said, David, lay hands on it. They got the job. They got it. Are you with me? And God now started doing some things to help me. So there was a job they sent us for. People that know the way well testing works. So if you are done with testing a well, you have to demobilize. So that period, it was towards the end of the year. And he really needed the money to pay salaries. So he now called me and said, David, you're one of the youngest engineers, but I'm going to send you because I'm trusting God for a miracle. What's the miracle? He said, I want this job to continue. Let them be taking us from one well to another well to another well to different wells. Let's be testing more wells. I said, sir, that one, God, let's pray. I can't tell you. Let me not give you promise now. You know, I said, so he tell me. It did not come to pass. Don't mind them. So I got there and I started praying. I wake up in the night, la carabashata. Oh, you separator, you are not living here. That was how it happened, though. They finished my well. They said, it's true. Then we need another gas well. Send them there. Job of 3 days became 3 weeks. From 3 weeks, 2 months. I said, sir, any crew change? I want crew change. He said, sir, they stay there. Stay there. Stay there. No crew change for you. You are there. Stay there. He said, David, stay there. No crew change. Be there. Look at John 15, verse 18. He says, if the world hates you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. Hey. If this is Jesus talking. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. Verse 19. If you were of the world will love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hated you. See verse 20. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. And if they have kept my sayings, they will also keep yours also. They will also persecute you. Maybe you are in school. In school, they persecuted me. People that know me, they persecuted me.
Spirit Coco.
They say, we know you now. After service, after school, you go open your own church.
They criticized.
Look at Luke chapter 9, verse 26. Luke 9:26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed. These are not things to take lightly. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, I will be ashamed of him in the presence of my Father and his holy angels. Let me tell you the truth. Nobody's really ashamed. They're actually ashamed of the things that they don't really believe. I just told you. If your company says go and do marketing, you're working in the bank, they tell you, go out. Go and bring 50 customers. Open 50 new accounts. You will see yourself going, you need to open this account. You'll be talking to people. You'll be making calls. You'll be moving. When they told you about multi-level marketing, is it Happy Hands International? Sorry. MMM. They are different. Forever Living. Are they still living? People that you think cannot talk, before you know, they have become evangelists. You see, when you bring four people, you will climb up. Then those four people will now bring four people. They will now climb up. Then they will now bring 16 people. Then they by the time you reach there, you will go to Dubai. You will go for a trip. Who remembers those? And you just keep, you see yourself going out. You say, see, you will start talking to people. You. You are an evangelist. It's just that you are not serious about the gospel yet. Jesus has not entered your heart enough. You are an evangelist. I want to ask you, how did a time came in this country, the whole country was watching Camila and Eduardo. Who remembers? Second chance. How did it spread? It was somebody that told somebody, Have you seen Camila and Eduardo? Wait, does Gen Z know what I'm talking about? Then Pragya and all of that. Z word. How did those things spread? Somebody was telling somebody. That's how you started watching Just Us Girls. Somebody was telling somebody. That's how suits spread. 24. Jack Bauer. That guy strategy, Jack Bauer. How did it spread? Somebody was telling somebody. It was evangelism. Evangelism. My Yakubu managed. How did it spread? Evangelism. You said it, somebody said it, another person said it. You keep saying it like that. So if the truth is, if you really believe something, if you really love something, you will talk about it. If you really like a girl, you cannot hide it. All your friends will know. All your people will know. Before you know, you start talking about her. She's a very smart girl. She knows where she's going. She's a visionary person. That's a word for somebody. That's the relationship you are doing. That is a secret that is only dwells in the secret place. That only you, God, and the angels know. There's something wrong. And the church says amen.
Amen.
So number one, how do you take up your cross? We've said denial of earthly pleasure that stands against the will of God. Number two, being willing to embrace necessary discomfort for the cause of Christ. I can't use my mouth and tell you things I've done for the sake of the gospel. Preaching in buses. I preach anywhere. Once I have somebody to listen to me, No, I didn't wait for a microphone to start winning souls to Christ, though. When I used to be the church I grew up in, there were times where I would tell the choir, because I used to sing and play, I cannot rope today. You know what I was going to do? Because the choir has to resume early, I have to go and bring people from where I want them as souls and come to church. When last did you pay somebody's transport to come to church? Are you with me? You finished university 4 years. You went NYC 1 year. You have worked in 3 companies. In the last 10 years, you don't have up to 10 people that can trace their knowledge of God to you. You need to cry. Go and start crying. All those people you met in NYC, or you're just doing night out, dancing competition, who is the most dressed, Miss Ward, or Miss Most Handsome, Broad Chest, Biggest Chest Award. Just doing all that. Nothing accounted for the kingdom. Nah. And finally, how do you take up your cross? By embracing personal self-denial. Personal self-denial. You know, Jesus says in Luke 9:23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. So I can call this one a daily cross. Personal self-denial. You see, there are some things that are not necessarily seen. But you know, between you and God, you know, on a personal level, that there is a way you will embrace this thing too much, it will cause a hindrance to your spiritual growth. It will cause a hindrance to your walk with God. It will even cause a hindrance to your advancement of the gospel. It can be a stumbling block. Are you with me? There's a way those things can affect you. It will make you are no longer effective for the Lord. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 verse 27, but I keep my body under. Can you say after me, I keep my body under. And I bring it to subjection. Lest by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Simple things like food, sleep, gist. Are you with me? Enjoyment. It's not bad though. Get as much as you can. But when you see that it's becoming an issue, when you see it is standing in the way of God, you have to be willing to embrace personal self-denial. Things like even pride, your personal ego. You offended somebody. The Lord is telling you, go and apologize. Go and say, I'm sorry. Say, no, you say sorry first. No, I can't be the one to say sorry first. No. My steez cannot drop like that. You will say sorry first. And you can feel the Lord. You are willing to stand against God because you don't want to deny yourself. Are you with me? Let me give you one. You have planned to pray by 10. Then you are watching a movie. It now became 9:45. The movie is still going on. And the Lord is telling you, pause that movie, go and pray. You're like, no, Lord. No, Lord. How can I leave this movie? Can't you see what's about to happen? Oh, Wakanda forever. Oh, God, I cannot leave this movie. You know what's happening? That thing is revealing that your flesh, the will of your flesh is stronger than the pressure of the spirit on your heart. I've been there. That thing is painful. See, that thing is real cross. Real cross. Some people, it's just, you are talking too much. The Holy Ghost is saying, shut up. He said, this is just, I must talk. Have you heard Noah? You will not lie. Add Magia, Corey, lie. Say the one that did not happen. By the time they mix it together, the gap between the original thing and what you have presented is, the disparity is almost 200%. You're just talk. Some people, you have exposed things that the Holy Ghost told you keep quiet. The testimony is not even fully complete. You have gone talk. Before you know, you have exposed yourself to demonic attack. Building project you just started. You have not even finished paying for the land. Say you don't even know what I've engaged. You see this property now. You're already calling it property. You just paid 50% for land. The whole world has known. All your friends, everybody, talk. Your mouth itching. You say, I can't keep it to myself. talk too much. It's not a sin, but you can feel the Lord saying, this thing, deny yourself. That enjoyment of that, just keep quiet. Deny yourself. Gossip. Now let me just tell you, gossip. See, we need to, you say, we need to pray in this church. Things are happening, you know. We need to pray. Things are happening, sir. Just say you want to gist, you want to gossip. We need to pray. They will spend 50 minutes analyzing the matter and 2 minutes praying. Say, oh God, you will do something. You will change things in this church. But you've spent, no, why not do it the other way around? Spend 2 minutes talking and 2 hours praying. No, they will not do that one. Those days, growing up in church, you know what I used to do? When you come and meet me, when I started, the Holy Ghost began to prick me about that kind of thing. When you come and meet me, have you heard? I said, let's pray about it. When 5 people discover that when you meet him to say, let's pray about the matter, they stop. I stop hearing gist again. Because in here was bad market. As you are bringing it to me, the effervescence will die. The heat, it will just die. Psh. Some people is food. Food. You too like food. When will you leave food and touch God? Your friends know that once you just say, Anita, there's food. There's food. Fried plantain abyss there. My God, I'm coming. Food. Food. You know the Bible says that it was because of food Esau lost his birthright. Food. Porridge. When they say fasting like this, 9 o'clock, boiled water be smell like boiled egg. Sacco. Smoke outside will smell like toasted bread. Food. Food. Daniel chapter 1 from verse 8. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible says, now, you need to, let me just give you background before we start reading. So, when Israel was in captivity in Babylon, the king chose out some Israelites to come and serve in the palace. And they were supposed to serve before King Nebuchadnezzar. And because they were serving there, they were supposed to eat what they were given. But there was a problem with the food. The food was being served to idols. In Babylon, before they bring food to the king, they will give it, they will first of all present all the food before their idols and their gods and do incantations around it. Are you with me? Are you with me? Then the Bible says, when Daniel found out, he proposed in his heart. Can you imagine? Let's open Daniel chapter 1 from verse 8. But Daniel proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Thank God he put meat, because once we will see meat like this. No. I must meet with the meat. We must have a meeting. If there's rice and there's no meat, no, this is useless rice. There must be meat. Can you imagine the way they were giving them meat in the king's palace? You that you still see and your body shaking like this. Have you watched all those medieval films? The meat was very meaty. And then he proposed in his heart that he will not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat. Now see verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who had appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse, liking than other children, which are of your sort? Then shall he make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzer, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse. What is pulse? Vegetable. Ugu. A vegetable. To eat and water to drink. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. and he consented to them in this matter and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. See, I'm tempted to believe maybe the incantation they were doing on that meat was doing something to those people that they did not know. Are you with me? Now, look at the blessing. You would think that the blessing here was just them looking fairer and fatter. Look at what God now did in response to their self-denial. Look at verse 16. Verse 17, please. As for these four children, everybody read 1, 2, 3, go. As for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Are you with me? This was God's response to their self. Simply because they said, you see this food, I will not eat it. Do you know what eating, overeating? I'm not saying starve yourself to death. I'm not saying become a fasting machine. But when God is nudging you, this your eating is a problem. Say no. Some of you, God. The devil knows that the way you love food, if he wants to initiate you, you put inside food. Oh, you're eating popcorn. I beg him my own. I was watching, is it Prophet Suddenly Part 4? The children's church, Prophet Suddenly. The demonized woman brought demon-possessed donuts. Prayer band, no get discernment. He said, do not. Sounds like do not, but I will still eat it. Only you explain the remark to yourself. Only you disobeyed it. He said, do not. Sounds like do not. Then you still carry the donut and eat. Ha! I'm finding trouble. Oh. Can I be honest with you? I fall into this category too. Oh, you don't know? There was a time in my life, food. I can give you money, but not my food. The food I'm eating, give you. Nah, we'll fight. But money to go and eat, I will just give you easily. So you know what God did to me? To break the yoke, he now blessed me with. You will live a fasted life. Ask my wife those days. Pastor, he'll give you money, but to eat his food. So you know what she will do? She will not take the money. She will sit down with me and say, this is your food. I want it. Hallelujah.
Praise
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. I believe you have gotten your own word, right?
Yes, sir.
There are some of you, there are some movie series you need to stop immediately. It has become a lord over you. God knows that if your prayer time and your movie time meets, prayer will have to bow. If church calls a program, there are some friendships that will have to end. There are associations that have to end. Take up your cross and follow the Lord. Jump on your feet. Can we just begin to pray? Lord, give me the grace. For some of you, I've not mentioned anything in your category. Maybe it's sleep. Every time you have a word, God wants to give you a word. God has to be hoping if he can give it in your dream. Because the person is perpetually sleeping. It's not always come by dreams. That yoke is broken in the name of Jesus. Can you just pray, pray, pray? And you are praying, Lord, I receive grace to take up my cross and follow. I receive grace. Pray, pray, pray.
I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can give myself away. My life is not my own. I give myself away so you
Father, we thank you. We are strengthened to take up our cross and follow you daily. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.